Today is a special day. We are celebrating. We're giving honor where honor is due. So on today, I want to call your attention to Isaiah 46. Amen. Isaiah 40. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you, or iPad, iPhone, or Android, to go ahead and read it there too, as I'll be referencing multiple scriptures from Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, also known as Deutero-Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46. Amen. Isaiah chapter 46. Amen. Why don't you repeat after me? Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. And praise God. Amen. Do me a favor and just touch a person near you, around you, somewhere by you. Just look them in the eyes. Just look them in the eyes and say, it's a long-term relationship. Amen. It's a long-term relationship. Amen. AKA ride or die. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your favor. We thank you for your faith. God, in every season, we can count on you. You're always good and you're always God. We thank you for the promises that are yea, the promises throughout the scriptures. We cannot number them all, but they all belong to us. And for that, we give you praise. Solo Deo Gloria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're living in a time when so many, if not most, relationships are short-term. They're fleeting, they're passing, they're sometimey, they're fickle, they're fake, they're not long-term relationships. They're disposable relationships. Amen. But the truth is, God wants to call to our attention the contrast that He has for all of us. He wants us to know that He wants a long-term relationship with you. It's not quid pro quo. It's not because you're so good. It's not because you're so strong. It's not because you look so good. It's not because you have so much. It's not even because of you. But it's just because of His character. God says, once I enter into relationship with you, I'm not letting you go. Amen. If I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind because you mean that much to me. God says, I am committed to you. In season, rainy, sunshine, it doesn't matter. I'm committed to you. And that's what Isaiah 46 is tailored to teach all of us. It emphasizes old age. And we're living in a day when people love to lift up being young. And there's some good things about being young, that's true. But there's some better things about being mature, about being seasoned. Because you have a little more experience with the Lord. You've seen Him do some things. You know His name. You know what He does and how He does it. You know the Lord when you walk with the Lord. And so the text starts off in Isaiah 46, verse 1, by introducing us to the two main gods of Babylon. This was Bel. Would you say that, Bel? And Nebo. Don't mind if I teach just a little bit. Bel and Nebo were the two gods of the day. And they were, if you will, an attack on the real God. They were the idols. They were the idols. They were believed to be son and father. That's what idols do. It always mimics that which is true. And in a very real sense, we don't have Bel and Nebo, but we do have idols today. We don't have idols that we carry around. That's what verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 talks about, that these idols had to be carried around. They were burdens. They were heavy. And you had to carry them wherever you went. Well, can I talk to you? We don't have Bel and Nebo, but we do have idols. Can I tell you the two main idols that I believe we wrestle with in our day-to-day life? Are you ready? Are you listening? Yeah, you too. The two main idols, the first is worry. Yeah, worry is that thing that keeps us up at night. Worry is that thing thing that makes us wonder, how is the future going to turn out? Worry is that thing that gnaws at us, that haunts us. We're always looking back at us. Amen. We're wondering if they're ever going to get us, if I'm going to get caught, if I'm in trouble. It's worry. And we got to be careful, because that's become an idol. And I hear you saying, well, Reverend, how can worry be an idol when an idol is a good thing, or seem to be a good thing? Well, to many of us, we hold on to worry as though it's a good thing. We can't let it go. We always have to say, I just don't trust that it's going to work out. I'm always upset. It's worry. And can I tell you the truth? Worry leads to depression. Yeah, worry will have you depressed. Worry will have you messed up. Worry is the idol of our day. Worry is something like a stationary bike. You expend a whole lot of energy, but you don't get anywhere. Worry is a dangerous thing. And I want to challenge you, yes, the person sitting next to you too, to let that idol go. Don't worry about anything, but trust God with everything. Now here's the next one, the idol of our day. You ready? It's wealth. Yeah, wealth is this concept and this notion that we always need more. Steve Harvey was talking recently, and he said, I don't have a whole lot of money. I mean, I don't have Oprah Winfrey's money. See, he's in the millions and she's in the billions. That's the trick of wealth. We somehow think that if I get a little more, I'll be all right. If I get just a little something more, everything will come together and I'll never have to worry. But can I talk to you? There's no correlation between wealth and peace of mind. Just because you have more money doesn't mean you'll be happier. In fact, some argue that there's a correlation between wealth and stress. That the more you get, the more anxious you are to keep it. Amen. I heard the story of a man who was old. And he was getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. So he said to his wife, he said, honey, I'm going to take my money with me. It's going wherever I go. I want you to get a backpack and I want you to fill it with $100 bills. I mean, as many as you can get, and put it in the attic. So when I go, I'll grab it on my way to heaven. Well, he went, and after the funeral, she went up into the attic to see if the backpack was still there. There it was, still there. She said, I told him he should have put it in the basement. Y'all slow. Amen. Somebody will explain it to you on the way home. Look, wealth is tricky. I'm not discouraging you getting as much money as you can, but just make sure your money never captures you. Just make sure you don't get to the place where you think, I gotta have more, I gotta have more, I gotta have more, because that's a lie and a trick of the enemy. Get what the Lord can bless you with and use it to bless others, and you'll be healthy and you'll be happy. These are the idols of our day, and I want to warn you and wrestle with you that you got to deal with these idols, because at the end of the day, God says those things that you worry about and that money that you want to hold on to and get more of cannot match a relationship with me. This is all about contrast. This is all about juxtaposition. This is all about this versus that. And God says, I'm better than all that. Whatever it is, you can count on me. You can trust in me. This text is so simple, I'm going to make you shout or put you to sleep. Wake your neighbor up. Look, because the text simply says this. It says, first, I've been with you in your past. You got to understand that what the text is arguing, that God has been our sustainer. He has kept us. Look, this is a call for us to look back at your blessings. Go ahead, help me out. Everybody just look back like this. Just look back. Look. Every now and then, you got to look back at your blessings. Now, I know this is confusing for some of you, because we really got to be careful about looking back. If we get too caught looking back, we can become bitter. We can become confused. We get lost in our past and we don't focus on our future. But every now and then, we got to look back. I don't know. When I was growing up, I had a little game called Light Bright. Yeah, Light Bright. All it was a blackboard. But on the blackboard, there were little holes. You would take little pins of color and and you would put them in the little holes. So you had all this black space, but then you had these little bright lights. That should be the testimony of your past talking to you. When you look back at your past, you ought to see how the Lord sustained you, how the Lord met you. Okay, the word sustain literally means to be upheld, to be held up. That my grandma used to say, on every leaning side. Yeah, on every leaning side, God kept you. When you went through that divorce, God kept you. When you lost the house, God kept you. When they said it was cancer, God kept you. When you lost mom and them, God kept you. When you lost that one you love, God kept you. That ought to be the testimony. Okay, y'all missing this, because this is really based on something called cognitive semantics. Would you say that? Cognitive semantics. I paid a lot to go to school. Amen. Yes, I did. Now, cognitive semantics is the idea that the words have more than word meaning in them. That the words have extra meaning. Yeah. Okay. Y'all not feeling me. If I said to you that love is doing what's necessary with the spirit of sacrifice, even. Keep going. Uh-huh. And even when the person, yeah, that's the definition of love. Now, some of you are wondering, how in the world did some people start saying it? Those people joined Shiloh in the 80s. And our pastor in the 80s was Pastor Henry. And Pastor Henry taught that definition of love. So when I mention that definition of love, I'm not just talking about love. I'm talking about history, baby. I'm talking about the past, the greatness, and the legacy of Shiloh. I'm talking about the mind of a great teacher and pastor named Dr. Henry, or Brother Henry, or Pastor Henry. That's okay. Y'all not feeling me. Let me see if I can make it plain. It's the idea. Okay, if I said to you that they marched against billy clubs, they marched against hoses, and they marched against dogs, then you would say the civil rights movement. Y'all not feeling me. Let me see. So some words have, okay, my grandfather used to say this and I didn't understand it. My paternal grandfather didn't like my maternal grandmother, and I used to try to find out why, and he said, because she tried to make me go through her back door. Now, I'd never understood that, amen, until I got older, and there was a custom, particularly if you were African American and dark, as a way to disrespect you, they'd send you to the back door of just about anything. And it's the idea that my grandfather felt that tension, and because of that, he did not like my grandmother. They weren't married, they were on other sides. You get the picture? Okay, y'all not feeling me. The song, there's this commercial for this movie called Us, and the dad singing, I got five on him. And somebody said, what is that song about? And he said, hey man, never mind. It's the idea that some words have more than definition that's found in the dictionary. Well, these words in Deuteronomy, which begins at chapter 40 to chapter 55, are laced with Old Testament Exodus words. Now, you got to study Israel and Isaiah to understand it. Let me show you real quick just a few. First, it says, I am. Now, you remember Moses said, who shall I tell them sent me? Tell them I am sent me. And so it says in that section, I am. But not just that, but look at the word redeemed six times in that section, that Deuteronomy section. It says, you are redeemed. I am your redeemer. The word goel or redeemer is used over and over and over and over, because it's trying to press the claim that you remember what I did for your forefathers. You remember how I brought you out. You remember how I helped you up. These words meant something to that culture at that time. They were laced with the redemption story of Exodus. Not just that, even if you were in Exodus 48, it says, I am the way in the wilderness, and I am the river in the desert. That's referring to God giving his people from the rock water, and he provided for them a river in the desert. So when they heard these words, what the writer Isaiah was doing is he was singing to them. He was talking to them in a love language they understood. He was telling them, don't you remember that your God sustained you? Can't you look back over your life and see how God helped you out and hooked you up? Can't you remember when the doctor said it wasn't going to go well? Can't you remember when you didn't have the job? Can't you remember when you couldn't pay that bill, but I took care of you? I made sure you were all right. Now, the truth is, I've got to bother you just for a minute, then I'll move on, because you too have a redemption testimony. I don't know what your testimony is, but I do know you have one. You might be sophisticated. You might be educated. You might be the kind that don't like to move a lot. But I want to let you know, if you had the mic for a minute, you could say that it was cancer, and I didn't know if I was going to make it. I didn't have faith at that time, but God worked in me, and God worked on me. Or you might be like me. I was in special ed on that short bus, and I really wanted to learn, but I had a little stutter, and I couldn't read because I was dyslexic. But because I had attention deficit disorder, I really didn't pay attention. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's the idea that all of us have different testimonies, but we all got our testimonies. Some of us went through tragedy, and some of us went through hardship, but we all went through something. And the fact that we went through is the testimony. And so the first truth is, God kept you in your past. I got to move on. But next, the reality is, God is keeping you right now. God is sustaining you right now. God is the one who's sustaining you. I said leaning post, but really, if you do a great study on the word, then it's not just about keeping you upright, but it's about carrying you. It's a picture of a mother who carries a newborn. It's the idea that God is making sure that every day of your life, you get to where you need to get to. You have what you need, and you are who you're called to be. God, he's keeping you. Now, notice the text doesn't say anything about anyone else. Yeah, y'all missed that. Look at the text. The text never says, I'm going to use this person, or I'm going to use that person, or your children, or your parents. It doesn't talk about them, because at the end of the day, they're just vessels used by God. But God says, I'm the one that keeps you. Now, you need to understand this, because at some point in your life, God will isolate you. God will make you by yourself. God will take people from around you so that he can deal with you. And can I talk to you for a moment? Don't be offended when God gets you in a place of isolation, because it's really, for the believer, a place of consecration. Yeah. It's there that God wants to minister to you. And sometimes he can't minister to you with even good people around you, because then you start giving them the credit for what he's doing to you and through you. Oh, y'all missing this. You got to get this, because every now and then God strips away some people from your life, even momentarily, and you're wondering, God, why am I going through this all by myself? And God says, baby, you're not by yourself. I am the one. I am he. I've got you. I'm keeping you. I'm blessing you even now. Okay, I thought this would happen. Look, my wife, my beautiful, fine wife. Yeah, my wife, she ran track in college. She ran for Radford, and she ran for Purdue. She was a Big Ten champion. She was literally on her way to the Olympics. You can catch her in the New York Times under Khadijah Conda. Yeah, she's there. Check it out. Now, look, one point, she's an engineer. And so the coach said, you know, we always want to make academics number one. So are you sure you want to do an engineer major when we paying for you to go to school here at Purdue? You know academics is number one. And she said, I know academics is number one, and I am keeping it number one. And she took chemistry, but the only time they had this difficult chemistry class was at the time of track practice. And so by law, they were supposed to provide provisions for her to practice at another time. But they were so mad at her, they just said, why don't you go ahead and practice by yourself? So literally every night she would go to the track at night in the dark, and she would run that track. She would do her stretches. She would do her sprints all by herself, doing her best to keep her time and push herself to be everything she could be. Amen. She's gifted. But look, at the end of that season, she was the most successful athlete on the team. Yeah. Now, wait. This goes against all teaching as it relates to sports. It's the idea that you're pushed by your team and you're made better by your team. But every now and then God says, I got to take you away from them so you can hook up with me, so I can make you into everything you ought to be. Don't ever think just because you're by yourself that somebody's not there to help you. In fact, my wife became successful when she was by herself. She broke the records when she was by herself. Every now and then, be by yourself and just be with God, and God will elevate you. Yeah. He is the one. He is the one who's keeping you. He is the one. Now, for a few of y'all missed this because you're thinking, I is the one who's keeping me. And I just got to pause for a moment and let you know you can't keep yourself. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. He is keeping you. And even when you can't remember all the scriptures, and even when you can't remember all the commandments, and even when you can't remember all the Psalms, He'll still remember you. He'll still take care of you. He'll still uphold you. It's God and God alone. I gotta go. But look, the next thing, because the reality is, look, He's taken care of you and sustained you in your past. But not only that, He is sustaining you right now. He's upholding you in His righteous right hand. That's scripture. But not only that, I want to let you know your future is blessed. Now, this is hard because so many of us worry about our future. The psalmist said this, I fear no bad news for my future. And I want to let you know that you got to stop worrying about your future. Don't worry how you're going to pay for your kids to go to college right now. You don't even have any kids. Amen. Get married first. Amen. We worry about stuff. We start tracking. I'm single. Who's going to take care of me when I'm a senior? Stop worrying about your future and give your future to the Father, because the Father says you're in good hands. I don't know if I read it to you, but if you keep reading verse 4, it goes on to say, I will rescue you. Now, this is slightly different from redemption, because redemption requires a ransom. I don't have time to talk about that. Redemption requires a ransom, but to be rescued means that somebody who's got so much power can snatch you out of any trouble or any situation you get in, and they can do it without a ransom. Can I talk to you for a moment? Because the truth is, God wants you to know that whatever happens in your future, if you need to be rescued, He says, I got you. If you need help, I got you. Everything's going to be all right. There's nothing you can get into that I can't get you out of. I am God. Okay, y'all not feeling this. Her name is Ernestine Reese. She lives in Alabama. I used to live in Alabama, Roll Tide Road. I was going University of Alabama, and every winter in Alabama, you got a tornado seasons. Tornadoes come through. And so Ernestine Reese was at her home, and they said, now look, you need to go to the bathroom if you don't have a basement, because the bathroom is the safest place in your house. And so she went to the bathroom, and the tornado came to her house and through her house, and the tornado tore down her house. There was nothing left. Everything was flattened except for a little closet. Now, they were amazed because the closet is not the sturdiest thing in anybody's house. The closet is not the most powerful place. You got to go to a basement or maybe a bathroom with a tub, but that's not the thing that remained. She had a small injury, but the thing that amazed her is her prayer closet withstood the storm. And she said that God was trying to remind her and everybody else. She's an older sister. She's an older saint. She said that God was testifying to her that I am your keeper, that I am your sustainer, that I will uphold you, that I'll make sure at the end of the day you will be all right, because you are my child. And when you're my child, ain't nothing gonna happen to you that doesn't come through me. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the testimony of the Word of God. In fact, we're getting ready to have the seven last words. If you look at those seven last words, those are the words of a brother who was and is sustained. That's why he could say, Father, forgive him, because they don't know what they're doing. That's why he could say, I thirst. Thirst is a sign of health. When you're thirsty, it means your body is healthy and strong. He could say seven words, into thy hand I commit my spirit, because he was sustained by God. Because he was sustained. And I hear you saying, but Reverend, he died. Yes, he died. He did die. He died, and for 3 days he stood there. But good news is this. God says, when you are kept by me, I'll lift you up. I'll come and I'll rescue you. That's what God did for him, and that's what God will do for you. God is a keeper. He'll keep you. He'll help you. He'll sustain you. He'll protect you. He'll go before you. He'll be all around you. God is a mighty good keeper. Is there anybody here that can testify as you look back over your life? Don't look at them, but think about him. Look back over your life. Did God keep you through the car wreck? Did God keep you through the sickness? Did God keep you through the layoff? Did
God keep you through the heartbreak? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And yes, he will. Somebody needs to know that God is a mighty good friend, that God is a keeper. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And I don't know what you're going through, but I do know that you will go through. And when you do, know that he is. He is. He is a keeper. He is the strength of my life. He is the peace of my life. He is.
We're standing to our feet. This is for somebody who is going through. And whatever you're going through, now is the time to say, God, you're my sustainer. God, you're my sustainer. God, you're my keeper. God, you've got me. I can trust in you. I can trust in you. You're my all in all. You're my strength and you're my sustainer.